everyone, and welcome back to Astro Hotline. I'm your host, Tess. And before we get into today's episode, I do want to remind you guys that there is a really important announcement in this episode, and it's right before the horoscope segment. So make sure you listen to that announcement. Otherwise, you're going to be seriously confused by the next upload. So with that being said, let's get into today's topic, which is sex demons. And a lot of you are like, well, what the fuck is a sex demon? And we're going to get into that. But I first want to say that this is something I'm really passionate about. Not sex demons, but sex. So if you don't really know much about me outside of being an astrologer, I am a women's studies and political science major. And I've had the privilege to take amazing classes, particularly sexual ethics and sexuality studies. And even the further privilege of having an internship at a sexual advocacy organization or sexual assault advocacy organization. And so I'm constantly sort of reading and learning about sex and consent and sexual politics and all those wonderful things. And sex demons brings up a lot of concerns on my end, and a lot of people had voiced them on Twitter. So if you're not on Twitter a lot, there was this whole discourse about, and a lot of you better be on Twitter because it's probably where a lot of my audience comes from. But if you're not on Twitter, there was this whole conversation or discourse about sex demons and whether they're real or not and whether it's just a bunch of fucking bullshit and whatnot. So it's a very polarizing conversation. A lot of people were like, yeah, like sex demons are a thing, like 100%. And then the other side is like, no, it's not really a thing. Stop spewing your spiritual jumbo bullshit at me. And for me, you know, I'll get into sort of my opinions about it, but to kind of give you a little overview, a sex demon is, there's varying ways on how to describe it, but it's usually someone who tends to kind of train your energy through sex. So when you get done having sex with a sex demon, you may feel emotionally, mentally, physically, and spiritually off. Okay, and that is because this person's sort of draining your energy and like harboring it for himself or whatever. Another example is sort of this like transaction where the sex demon has a lot of, you know, negative energy within its own, and it kind of transfers that into you through the process of sex. And I feel like this sort of idea about a sex demon is kind of heteronormative on its own, because it does kind of involve a sort of penetrative intercourse, typically of like a man sticking his penis in a woman. It's usually how it was framed on Twitter, and even within the images that were shared on the timeline of like this figure that resembled the devil kind of putting his dick in a woman, particularly her ass. But besides the point, it is sort of framed in this like heteronormative lens, and it's like my gay queer ass sitting over here like, okay. And then there's this other bigger conversation around sex demons and this whole idea of a soul tie exchange, which by the way is very problematic. I do not like this sort of idea about a soul tie exchange, and I'm going to get into that in just a minute. But a soul tie exchange is basically, you know, this idea that sex somehow enhances our emotional bond between people, whether we want it to or not. And that is simply not true. And the reason why, and again, also kind of refuting this idea of a sex demon, is that we have boundaries, and boundaries is what protects us, okay? So the thing about boundaries in a sexual context is a lot of, you know, different ways. So one of the ways is, in a very physical sense, condoms, protections, okay? Protections in sex that reinforces that we are putting ourselves and our well-being and our sexual health first before quote-unquote pleasure, okay? And then another example of boundaries in a sexual context is going over the terms and conditions of the sexual relationship before the sexual relationship takes place. Okay, so having the terms and conditions may mean, you know, whether you want contact outside of the sexual relationship. So, like, for example, you engage in a casual sexual relationship and you can decide whether or not you want to talk and be friends outside of sex. For some people, no, they just don't, they just want to have sex. For other people, yeah, they kind of want to, you know, have you around or kind of talk to you outside of just fucking. And then for other people, it's like, I can't engage in hookups or casual sex because my sexual nature is highly, you know, attached to my emotional nature. And I'm an example of that. And I know that, you know, hookups and casual sex relationships are just not for me. Okay, I know myself, I know what I need in terms of my sex and what I need to kind of emotionally fulfill me and all of that. And for me, yeah, I do need a sense of, you know, attachment between my sex and my emotions. And, you know, a lot of people are like that. And some people are more, you know, about having casual sex or hookups or whatever. The thing of the matter is that, you know, when we say that sex enhances our emotional bond between people, whether we want it to or not, is, you know, kind of refuting the nuances present within our relationships with other people. And believe it or not, us as social beings, yeah, we can be affected by others, okay? But there's this thing called boundaries. There's this thing called nuance that is ultimately going to be there. But I will say that, let's say you have the example of, you know, you're friends with someone and it's platonic up until a certain point where you both start engaging in sex and it comes out of the blue. It's abrupt, you know, and perhaps you want to go back to things were before, or you're not really sure on how to continue the relationship because sex is going to complicate a little bit. It's going to change the nature of the relationship, okay? Because it's another added on layer that, you know, is, you know, attached to the relationship. But does it always enhance the emotional bond? Not always. You know, for some people, it's just like, I can't, you know, maybe I can't be friends with you, or that wasn't such a good idea and we should maybe not do that again. Or maybe just like, we actually have feelings for each other, we should probably date and have sex more, you know, or turn it into a more casual type of thing. And that's why communication, setting boundaries are so important. But the thing about that, and I know it's easy to say, yeah, set boundaries and kind of go over the conditions or whatnot, is that we don't always have the tools for that. We don't have the tools on how, you know, to set those perimeters. And part of that is because it's a systemic problem where we just don't have a very strong sex ed framework, okay? So let me let you in on a very scary statistic. So according to Harvard Graduate School of Education, there was this study on the state of sex ed in America. And according to a report released this year by the Center for American Progress, only 24 states and the District of Columbia mandate sexual education in public schools, and even fewer states include consent. Majority of those have abstinence-based approach. Okay? And I do firmly believe that our lack of sex education is kind of what creates all this malfunctioning and, you know, having the tools on how to live healthy sexual lives. Part of that is because a lot of us never got the education in terms of how to fuck other people, how to safely fuck other people, what is required before fucking other people, what consent is, and all of those important factors. Some of us don't even get represented on the way that we want to fuck other people. It's mostly in a very penetrative, non-anal way, okay? And then, you know, the other factor of it is that the abstinence-based approach basically, you know, is just like, never have sex. Never engage in this act because you're going to go to hell, or that is not something you should do ever. And it's just unrealistic. Sex is a part of life. It is a life force. And to kind of relate it to astrology, sex is represented in the fifth house, which is the joy of Venus, okay? Venus joy is in the fifth house, and Venus deals with everything social connection, beauty, style, everything. And Venus is you know, heavily, you know, it can only be 48 degrees away from the sun. So sex is heavily attached to our life force, you know, attached to our vitality. It's something that we should definitely do. It's a part of life. It creates life. And so when we repress that part in our reality, it creates a lot of bad consequences. And for the most part, because we don't have a very well thought out framework for consent, because, you know, we base consent in a very legal definition, we don't really go into sort of the sentimental definitions of consent, and that consent is sort of, you know, a gesture of respect for someone's humanity, respect for someone's well-being, you know, it creates a mess. It creates a general mess into how we pursue sexual relations with other people, okay? And there was an argument. I wouldn't even say an argument. I would say there was a general concern from people who were saying this whole conversation about sex demons and soul ties is really toxic for those that suffer from sexual trauma. And a part of that is definitely true, because when you look at the rhetoric on Twitter about this whole sex demon shit, it's mostly kind of a warning to those that are having sex with the quote-unquote sex demons, rather than a warning to the supposed sex demons that they probably should, you know, not be so careless in their sexual endeavors. Because when you really think about it, if we are kind of going on this assumption that sex demons are a thing, then we should probably be yelling and educating and sitting the sex demons down on their fucking desk and telling them that you cannot do this. This behavior is unacceptable, okay? Sexual predators are a thing. There are people who engage in sex for very self-interested ways that do not have any regard for the other person's sexual health. So whether that's not, you know, wearing protection or, you know, not reciprocating pleasure, there are people like that do exist, and that could maybe be the closest that kind of fall under the sex demon category. And those are the ones that we should be directing our rhetoric to. If by any means, if this is like a whole thing, those are the ones that we should be talking to, not the people that are somehow getting trapped by a sex demon or all this bullshit. Because let me tell you what, the lack of sex education definitely does a disservice to a lot of people, but definitely does a disservice to, you know, queer folks, to women, to femmes who, you know, it's hard for us already to kind of seek out our pleasure in relationships, especially for those that are attracted to men, and especially to cis straight men. There's just, it's very difficult terrain for us, okay? And if anything, we should not be kind of throwing out this shaming rhetoric by any fucking means, okay? Period. And again, you know, related to the sort of the soul tie connection, here's my thing. You know, as someone who has suffered sexual trauma, I'm just gonna put that out there. I'm gonna put myself in the hot seat. You know, for me and my whole understanding of like my whole sexual prowess and like my whole proximity or understanding of me as a sexual being, it's heavily attached to my emotions. And while I may feel resonant to the definition of soul ties, there are many people who are not like that. And a lot of them are like that because they have boundaries in place, because they have different approaches to sex. And that is the key. Everyone has a different approach and attitude towards sex. And sex is always going to be polarizing, right? Because we are raised to think of it in different ways. Our identities affect the way that we have sex, the way that, you know, we seek pleasure, and also how our sex lives are in somewhat politicized, okay? Especially if you identify as queer and LGBT+, it's just the way that it is. And I think there needs to be a more nuanced understanding of this conversation, and there needs to be a little bit more systemic analysis of the way that a lot of this stuff, yes, is rooted in like spiritual and somewhat religious text, but it's also important to remind ourselves that we live in this very earthy and human conditioned world, okay? And we are all bodies, all right? And yeah, there are certain exchanges that can happen, all right? I definitely do think that's definitely a thing. People that you were friends with, even the rooms that you live in, okay? So like when you have a messy ass room, that's obviously going to have an effect on your productivity levels and how you get things done, especially if you work within your room, okay? That's always gonna have an effect. And so yeah, I definitely do think that energy can affect us 100%. But there's this thing, as I mentioned before, boundaries that help protect us, that help shield us, and help put us first. Because as much as sex is definitely about a reciprocation, it's definitely something that shouldn't always be self-interested. For some people, it is self-interested. However, and I mean however, it is reciprocated because everyone understands the conditions of that sexual relationship. They go in knowing what to expect. And yeah, it can change. And I do think that when it does change, communication is important. Understanding, compassion is certainly important. And so with that being said, sex demons, I don't think they're real. I think sex demons are a way that we can just kind of yell at cis straight men, which, yeah, I definitely support. But I just don't think they're a thing. And that's just my hot take. All right, welcome to the astrology segment of the episode. So I did mention about an announcement, and the announcement is pretty huge. I've been podcasting for a couple of months now, and it's a very independent podcast. I basically have my microphone, and that's pretty much it. I don't have an editor. I don't really sit down and kind of edit my audio. I just kind of post it, put it together, all of that. So I want to start taking podcasting a little more seriously, and part of that is a revamping of the image of this podcast, the way this podcast works, and especially the cover art and the name of the podcast. So all of those things will be changing, and I hope to have a new podcast format, a new introduction, a more, you know, stylistic cohesion going on, because at this point I do feel like Astro Hotline, she's a cute girl, but she definitely needs a makeover. And so there will be a new name for this podcast, and it will be called Cosmic Takes. And the reason why I wanted to call that is because I do have a lot of hot takes that I want to share with you guys. I want to share you my opinions. And, you know, I'll still take viewers' questions and kind of use that as a way to kind of delve into a specific topic pertaining to astrology, spirituality, maybe even fucking real life. Like, who knows, you know? And there's a lot that I hope that you guys can learn from this. And so part of it will be that, and then the other part will be astrology. Because as you guys know, astrology is my passion. This is an astrology podcast. And I hope that you guys will be kind of excited about it. And again, I want to thank all of you guys for supporting me, supporting this podcast. But we need to revamp. We need to up our game. So I'm hoping that y'all like what will be coming next. I hope to post my next episode in about 2 weeks because I am currently in the process of moving, and I do need to kind of get an artist to kind of create the perfect cover art image that I want and all of the important stuff that I kind of need to kind of make the episode bomb as shit. So yeah, I hope to have that posted within a 2 weeks time. Okay, it's time for your new moon horoscope. So I am very excited about this new moon, mostly because it's in Leo, and Leo is a really, you know, dynamic, fun sign, but also because, you know, this new moon is really going to introduce us to a new chapter or chapter is a little bit of an intense word. Things aren't completely changing, but you, aka you yourself, can make the changes. And that's really powerful and important, especially because we've had a very intense month of July, you know, where we had the eclipses, which is all about surrender, and coincided with the Mercury retrograde. And yeah, fun news, Mercury retrograde is ending during the time of the new moon. So Mercury will go direct, or it will station direct. It won't fully go out of its post-shadow phase until the 15th. But don't worry, the post-shadow phase isn't that big of a deal. You know, it's just a time to kind of, you know, recollect a little bit. However, you won't have that Mercury retrograde madness. And so, you know, if you're not really sure about what new moons or full moons are, or how to kind of, you know, conceptualize them, the new moon and the full moon are the two important points of the lunation cycle. So, you know, the moon has its phases, okay? And the new moon is when you have the moon, like, completely, you know, blocked off. Well, not blocked off, but it's not luminous at all. And it signifies the point of new beginnings because it is the first lunar phase. So it is the introduction to the lunation cycle. And it's a time for like a clean slate, you know, brushing things aside, you know, making, you know, new moves, and really, really great time. The full moon is when the moon is fully luminous. And because of that luminosity, it tends to kind of heighten our emotions, right? And it also shines a light of what's been hidden to us. So it's always about like a sense of reveal and a crisis. You know, people kind of go a little bit crazy during the full moon. But they are, you know, the full moon is a time of letting go, of release, of, you know, I wouldn't say purging. Purging's a little bit, you know, of a of an extreme, but it is about kind of letting go, right? And letting things be. And yeah, in some ways surrendering. So those are like the two important points of the lunation cycle: new moon, the beginning of the cycle, and the full moon, the climax of the cycle. And, you know, like all cycles, it's circular. And pretty much it. And it's really interesting because when you also consider the symbol of the sun, it's also a circle. And everything about life, because the sun is our life force, is a cycle. And with this new moon, 8 degrees of Leo, it's going to be a really fun time. And I don't want to say that to kind of get false hopes up or anything like that. I really do see it as a really, really great time, a great time to do your rituals. Yes, you can do your rituals. And, you know, to have fun and to kind of really make the first moves, because we are in August, or we're about to be in August, and August is usually that really, really powerful month of summer. So yeah, you know, this is all about getting, you know, new opportunities. But here's the thing, you have to act on those opportunities. So we have the Sun, Moon, Venus, and Mars all in Leo. We have this really massive stellium, and it is squared to Uranus. So if you're not really sure about Uranus, Uranus is the planet of revolution. It is the planet of surprises. So, you know, sudden, you know, hiccups. And it is a really extreme type of surprise. It kind of throws you off balance type of way. And it does represent things like electricity, of activism, of change. So yes, this is, you know, there is a sense of change happening. But you can't just entertain it. You have to really go forward through it. Okay. So, the energy of Leo, because this new moon is, you know, where the sun and the moon are conjunct with one another, it's a time where we are most lively, where we are most willing to live life, because there is something worth, you know, living for. The past month of July has been kind of intense for those many reasons, because life got difficult, and we, more than we wanted to, kind of thought about our mortality. And when you think about your mortality, it's kind of intense. And you get scared leaving the house or, you know, doing whatever, because there's evil everywhere. And so with this Leo energy, it's really all about light. It's about really appreciating what living is all about, whether it's, you know, lovers, whether it's your friends, your family, there's something there for you. And this is about finding that. It's about honoring your truth and honoring your authenticity, right? So this isn't the time where you want to be fake, because that will surely bite you in the ass. The energy's there. And it's also a time where, you know, there may be information presented to you, and you have to be very careful about how you deal with that. Why? Because we do have a Mercury opposite to Saturn and Pluto. So you know that the information that you have needs to be, you know, you have to be very careful with it. And it may, again, there may be information presented to you, and you may have to do something with that information in terms of a decision, in terms of a choice. But again, you know, pick and choose your battles, okay? Now, let's get back to Uranus squared to this full, this new moon and Venus. So when we have this energy, when we have this very dynamic energy, it can be very fun in terms of relationships, in terms of, you know, potential hookups. But here is the thing. There is not a lot of supportive energy for kind of making things official and for kind of being long-term with it. This is like fun energy. So like if you're going to hook up, you know, do that if you want. Do something casual with another person. But it's not that great of energy to kind of be solidifying things. And you're like, well, it's a new moon. Like, you can definitely do that by all means. But this is a time where you want to be a little fun and you want to kind of be lax on, you know, the commitment side of things, which to some of us, particularly Sagittarius, are rejoicing. I'm just kidding. But it's worth noting that this is a really great time to kind of, you know, not really care about the terms and conditions. This is like the time where you just want to do it for you, for your sake of pleasure, for your sake of having fun, as long as everything, everyone is consenting and they're well aware of what the relationship, sexual tryst, entails. Okay? Does that make sense? Okay. So, and another thing I do want to say is, you know, in the comparing to the month of July, where things were really intense, the great thing about August is that it's going to be some of the best astrology of the year. So where July was the worst, arguably August is going to be so much better. But it's really important that you are aware of your place and you don't overstep that. There will be times for truth, for realizing truth, and you have to be open about it, okay? And this is not the time where you want to, you know, fend for censorship, but also respect your place and know when you can't speak to certain things, even though you kind of want to, even though when the ego is like, you know, it's time to make a move, you have to really be aware of, you know, where the limitations are. Because with all this solar energy, with all this Leo energy, it's very often that we tend to kind of go beyond our limits because we just want that piece of life. So during this new moon, during the 31st, and even throughout August, really, you know, make authentic and good decisions, because oftentimes you may just kind of step a little bit too farther than you wanted to. And yes, that will have consequences. So again, think before you act. I know you hear that a lot, but think before you act, even though right now the energy is all about do. You don't always have to do. Even though you want to, you don't always have to, okay? And remember, you know, this is a time to kind of push ourselves to live our truth authentically and persist even when the waves get hostile. So that's a really short horoscope. And again, per usual, if you are a fixed rising, so if you have Leo, Aquarius, Scorpio, and Taurus, this new moon is going to be really, really great for you. And I hope you guys have fun. I hope you, you know, treat yourself to a meal or to a show. Remember, Leo rules the theater. So go out and have fun. All right. I'll see you next week.